Well, it's time for the annual Bob Enyart Live Internet Telethon. Help keep Bob Enyart Live on the internet for another year. Help keep Bob's message going out to a worldwide audience, unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media. If you like the teaching, if you like the resources, if you believe that this ministry is valuable and necessary in a lost and dying world, please go to the KGov store, sign up for the monthly Bible study, buy some products, arm yourself with some of the best Bible teaching available on the market today. Keep Bob Enyart's message going out to a worldwide audience on the internet for another year.
Warning, warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Enyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. And Bob, I think we're going to have to call Robert Bork up and have him rename his book. Do you remember Robert Bork's famous book?
The judge who was borked.
He was borked.
Slouching towards Sodom.
Slouching toward Gomorrah was his famous book.
That's right.
It's going to have to be retitled Hurtling Toward Gomorrah.
Hurtling. With today, the U.S. Supreme Court hearing.
Yes.
Even considering the matter. It'd be like considering whether or not we should allow Jewish children to be gassed along with their parents.
Right.
It's along that line. It's so filthy and perverse and immoral and wicked. You know, I read his book, Slouching Toward Gomorrah.
As did I.
You read it too?
I did.
Doug, you read more books than I look at.
No, I read it quite some time, eight years ago.
You read.
I read that book.
The audience doesn't know, I don't think, that, you know, Peter Boyles.
Peter,
He brags on every show how many books he reads.
Oh, he does.
I've never heard you one time tell the audience how many books you read.
I've read a few.
You've read thousands of
books. I'm in the midst of Von Mises, thanks to you.
Oh, Human Action.
Now that is a challenging read.
That's a thousand pages.
Very
economics. That's his life's work. But he was a, you know, libertarian, Ayn Rand type.
Yeah. Well,
agnostic, mm-hmm. but brilliant regarding economics.
Interesting stuff. So now we're hurtling toward Gomorrah.
Toward Gomorrah.
Yep.
And by the way, Robert Bork, who all the conservatives and pro-lifers supported, he says in his book, he said, "I wasn't pro-life.
I was not
pro-life."
Yeah, that wasn't the.
Everybody thought he was pro-life. He wasn't.
Right.
Toward the end of his life. Now, to get him, he's no longer with us.
Oh, that's right. I believe he passed from the scene.
Right.
Recently.
Right. But toward the end of his life, he reconsidered and he said, you know, all you had to do is think about what abortion is and what it does.
Yeah.
And you should become pro-life if you can think.
See, that's what happens when you become a lawyer. It takes you near 80 years to figure out something
recover.
That simple.
Right.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Because they no longer know right from wrong. They deny right from wrong.
They make their living obfuscating right and wrong.
Right.
Yeah, it's sad. But we're hurtling toward the Gomorrah. The Supreme Court is about to hear two cases, I believe. Two cases as to whether or not the laws of gravity should be obeyed or not. And that's how ridiculous I think it is.
Right.
But I think your point's better that it's filthy and disgusting and awful.
It's perverse. And it's the wedge issue. That's why everyone in our culture is so radically supportive of homosexuality.
Well, that brings up a question that I've been mulling over.
Mm.
Why is it that everyone, now, if you get into what these people do, it's disgusting and people are generally repulsed by it.
Yeah.
If you discuss specifics.
Right.
Why is it then that people are so fascinated and so quick to jump to the support of the issue and to join the movement and to support homosexuals?
Yeah.
What's the deal?
Because either a homosexual pervert is right or Jesus Christ is right, you have to take your pick. They're mutually exclusive. It's one or the other.
Well, I would agree
and
with
so,
that.
Right. So this is, they intuitively know, they being the culture, our politicians and all, this is a wedge issue. Even the Republican Party, the elite, the power brokers, who do they despise more, Planned Parenthood and the homos or conservative Christians who advocate for personhood?
I have a quote.
Obviously.
I have a quote from Reince Priebus. Remember Reince? He's the head of the RNC.
Yeah.
He says the Republican Party has plenty of room for people who support homosexual marriage.
Yeah.
That's from the...
The Big Ten.
That's from Reince.
Right. And so what happens is there's this wedge issue where if you oppose homosexuality, it's presented as though it's a civil right. So you are a bigot. You're a racist. Yeah. You are. And, you know, Doug, these faux conservatives that Christians have not only been tricked into building their worldview on, but really into turning them into leaders when they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Mm. I'm thinking, for example, of Dennis Prager.
Prager.
You remember? You know him?
He prefers clarity to agreement, if I'm not mistaken.
Salem.
I know. Radio. I listened to Prager years ago. Yeah.
I tune in now and then. If I'm in the car and he's on, I listen.
Okay.
Why not?
Because there's probably something else on, but anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So do you remember years ago Nickelodeon did a show on homos for kids?
I do. I remember.
This is like a decade
ago. It was their Nickelodeon News. They did a show about, My Family's Difference or My Family's Difference.
Yeah, and we talked about it on the air back then, and Dennis Prager had told his audience that, now this is going to air tonight, he said, the day before. This is in June. 13 years ago.
I've got it here. June 16th?
Yeah, that was
2002.
Quick. All right, that was quick. And so he said, watch it, and tomorrow we'll have a national conversation about it. And he was suspicious.
Well,
so,
I hope so.
It was hosted by that NBC gal. Do you have her name
there? Linda Ellerbe, Washington, D.C. correspondent, NBC News.
Yes, so.
By the way, she has a very clipped short haircut, and she looks fairly aggressive.
Is this like a fashion segment on the BEL show?
I'm just saying what she looks like. She's got really short hair, and she's got her jaw clenched like she's angry at the world.
It was
Let's not.
Like when Kagan was nominated for the Supreme Court, and the Wall Street Journal put a picture of her in her butch haircut playing softball.
Yeah.
Is that
It brings to mind. It's reminiscent of,
All right. So anyway.
So Linda Ellerbe does the show.
She did Prager's the show. Prager comes on the next day. Just says, you know, I was concerned, but it was very well done. It was very balanced. It was a great show. And so I was thankful that I was able to call in. I was the first caller.
Oh, okay.
And I said to Dennis Prager, Dennis, you just said that this program was well balanced. It was reasonable. Do you remember how Linda Ellerbe started? Her opening comment was that those who oppose homosexuality are like those who hated blacks or Jews or those who are mentally ill. So she compared a conservative Christian or Jew. Dennis Prager is Jewish.
Right.
She compared those who believe in Judeo-Christian morality to racists, bigots, and those who are mentally ill.
Well, now, but Prager says it was balanced. Later in the show, did she say that there was room in the public debate for people who were against homosexuality?
Of course not. The whole show affirmed homosexuality as a valid lifestyle. It's not. It's perverse. It's destructive. It's rebellion against God in one of its most pure forms.
Yeah.
It's pure rebellion against God. You know, people debate all kinds of things like economics and what's the perfect tax rate and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But that God made us male and female today. You are an extremist if you believe that there's a difference between men and women.
Wow. Can I give you just a snapshot of how bad it is?
Yeah.
On the drive-in, top of the hour news, they open the news report. The Supreme Court is going to decide whether gays, they call them, whether gays will join blacks in civil rights. That's how they introduce the story.
Right. And, of course, it's an insult to blacks, right?
I should think
It'd be
so.
Like comparing child molesters to blacks.
Well, it's exactly.
Or Nazis.
It's not like that.
To
it pretty
blacks.
Much is that. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Blacks have civil rights, so pedophiles, NAMBLA. And NAMBLA and these pedophiles marched openly in the homosexual rights parades for many years in our major cities here in the U.S. And we document that at kgov.com/homos, kgov.com/homosexuals. That's our debate with Wayne Besson, who's a leading pervert homosexual activist. And what a show summary it is and what a debate that was. And Doug, he lives this, which is gross to even say, but he lives this issue. For us here on Bob and Yurt Live, we address this once a month?
Well, as it comes up, which is, it's more and more, it's happening so fast, it's actually scary.
Yeah, it is. So
it's going to be scary to be a Christian. Hey, now,
they're mutually exclusive.
You said something that I haven't quite wrapped my mind around, and maybe the audience hasn't as well. You called it a wedge issue. A wedge issue is typically an issue thrown out by one party to divide the voters of the other party. So if this is a wedge issue, Bob,
right?
Who's the wedge being thrown in between?
Yeah, it's between your child, your grandchild, you, and Jesus Christ.
Ooh.
Because homosexuality is presented in the scriptures as perverse.
Mm. Yeah.
It's sickening. And, you know, God made us. He gave us defense mechanisms so that if you see putrefying like a dead animal in the gutter,
yeah,
and it's got maggots on it and all, it's real gross.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, here, take a bite. Right. You have this gag reflex.
Yeah.
You're going to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could condition people, especially if you start when they're young, to eat poison and things that will make them sick, and they won't know.
True.
But if a normal person in history, if they see two men like they're acting like they're
okay.
romantic,
uh-huh.
they're going to lose their lunch. They're going to throw up.
Yeah.
It just
they're
makes
gonna
you
at least
sick.
Have to choke it. Like
sick to your stomach.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
So God gave us, in mercy, he gave us this gag reflex that it makes us sick to our stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's because it's dangerous, it's immoral, it's perverse, it's breaking down almost the last barrier that God has set up, this boundary for human sexual behavior around marriage,
yeah,
between a man and a woman. And so they break that down. They say, don't tell me what to do, and we don't have to be married.
Mm.
Fornication. Don't tell me what to do if we're consenting adults. Adultery.
Right.
They break down that boundary.
Yep, that was broken down back in the 70s.
Don't tell me what to do if it's a, you know, a young teenager and I'm a 50-year-old guy. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. They even advocate, and the homosexuals typically as a group will advocate sex with animals and bestiality. And the National Zoning Code decriminalizes homosexual entertainment and sex with animal entertainment, bestiality.
Wow.
And so they just knock down the boundaries where God gave us these boundaries for our protection and for our good. And they intuitively recognize that if the culture accepts homosexuality, it rejects Jesus Christ. That's why the left and increasingly our Republican leaders, they're all going, Doug, the same direction of Dennis Prager. Remember Dr. Laura used to be against homos. Then she was boycotted. Now she says the most important thing is that homos are faithful to one another.
She was against them before she was for them.
Right.
After the
exactly
cost her some money.
Yeah. And what, Fox News is going to hold the line? I saw an interview today with a spokesman for a Family Research Council. And his reason why the U.S. Supreme Court should uphold traditional marriage is because the people voted for it.
Oh, is that the foundation?
I mean, he has this fabulous opportunity to speak to, a million people or more. And so he could remind them that Jesus said that God made us male and female.
Yeah.
And that God made marriage and instituted marriage between Adam and Eve. And God said homosexuality is perverse and destructive.
Okay, well, hold on now. You mentioned Republican leadership. I've got a story here on John Boehner, and I'm just looking. He doesn't mention anything that you just said, but he says that he's opposed to gay marriage, and he can't imagine that his position would ever change.
I think I remember, Doug.
He says, it's what I grew up with. It's what I believe.
When he said that, I think you went on the air for the record and said, today will be the day when history will remember that
John Boehner's is
that Boehner began to support homosexuality.
Right. This is March 17th, 2013.
Homosexual marriage.
This was the day that John Boehner
Because remember he defended the senator from Ohio.
Yeah, he defended Portman, Rob Portman, who changed his position.
Right. Yeah. Saying, you know, he had every right to do that. And
yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah. So,
but he can't imagine that his position would ever change.
He can't imagine.
I can imagine Boehner could divorce his wife and propose to Rob Portman. I could see that happening in my lifetime. That's how scary it's becoming.
Maybe that's what
he means, Bob. Boehner means he won't actually divorce his wife and marry a guy.
Yeah.
Back
when the homos and the leftists said that the homosexuals All they want is to be let alone.
That's all they want, right?
And that was a lie.
I remember you warned us from the beginning back with Amendment 2.
Homosexuality and Christianity are mutually exclusive. Yes. Only one will be allowed in the public square.
Mm-hmm.
And if homosexuality is allowed in the public square, then you have to affirm allegiance to sodomy and sodomites, or you will be taken down. You will be taken out of the way. Remember that woman, Doug, I don't watch the, you know, Miss America, that stuff. But some gal wanted to be Miss America.
I remember now.
And she was asked about homos and marriage.
Yeah.
And she said, look, I think the states have the right to do whatever they want to do. But personally, for me, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
Oh.
She was hated.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Pilloried
in the media.
And all she was basically saying is, look, I'd rather marry a guy myself.
Yeah, that's really all she said.
She was hated because she didn't say, look, for me personally, marriage should be between two women, for me personally.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that was a few years ago. It's just getting worse and faster and faster. Yeah. It's actually scary.
But the darker it becomes, the brighter Christ's light shines.
Amen.
And so people who affirm that God made us male and female, as Jesus said, not after billions of years, not out of animals, but at the beginning of the creation.
Right.
Those people, there are many who will look and be thankful that there's someone that has the courage to say the truth in a time of insanity and wickedness.
Wow. I met a guy in Las Vegas, asked me if he thought he should take his daughter to the Penn and Teller show. I was in the lobby of the hotel.
That's a magician show?
You know, Penn Jillette. He's a foul-mouthed atheist, right? IQ of like 190, but just a vile, foul-mouthed atheist.
All right.
And I said, well, I wouldn't take my 14-year-old daughter. And she's standing there right with him.
Mm.
He said, why not? I said, well, number one, he's an atheist, and he curses all the time.
Mm.
And the 14-year-old daughter goes, that's okay. And
the
dad says, well, I'm an atheist too. I said, well, I'm not. I homeschool my daughter, and I would never allow her to listen to anything like that.
And the daughter, in front of her father, says, I don't care if he's a foul mouth because Dad, I am too.
Exactly.
Dad, you are too.
I know. And he said, oh, she's 14. She knows what the world's all about. And I said, well, we homeschool our kids, so they don't know yet. And we hope to protect them as long as we can. And anyway.
Sure, because
he brought his 14-year-old daughter to Vegas, first of all. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
I was doing my best. That was a dark room right there.
A lot of people, by the time their kid's 18, their kids have already lost an opportunity to have a great life.
Yeah.
Christian, conservative parents, homeschool parents, when they're 18, the gift that we give them, it's not a car or whatever.
Yeah.
It's their life. We say, honey, here's your life to our boys.
Amen.
Son, here's your life. You now have the opportunity to have a life where a lot of kids by that age, their lives are ruined.
Yeah. And I worry for
kids.
This girl. Parents, by the way, just a note, parents, if you're online checking the age limit for the show to which you want to take your 14-year-old, maybe you should reconsider taking her to that show if you have to check if there's an age limit.
Hmm.
Did you ever think about that?
Yeah.
Anyway, darkness. We're just trying to shine a light in the darkness.
Doug, remember the reporter journalist for Newsweek came on this show a few years back. She did their cover story on homo marriage and the Bible, arguing that the Bible really would support homosexual marriage even. And if you notice, our leaders who are timid regarding homosexual marriage, they don't mention God.
No.
Not right and wrong.
Never.
Only process.
Yes.
Like they voted. The people voted.
It's a tradition.
Right.
It's traditional marriage.
So when the people voted that, you know, they like slavery.
And Mississippi voted that
the people voted.
We could own black men and women.
So the people voted,
right?
So that's not an answer.
It doesn't work.
That's cowardice. It's moral relativism, legal positivism. It's humanism.
Mm.
It doesn't explain why someone should advocate one position or another.
Right.
It is cowardice.
Mm.
And it's that kind of cowardice, and we're not even talking about homosexuality.
No, we're just talking about marriage.
Homosexual marriage.
Yeah, right.
Doug, 20 years ago on the show, I said eventually it's going to come down to the only thing conservatives will oppose will be homosexual dental care.
Dental care.
That's it.
And that's actually a part of this debate.
That's right.
It actually has become true.
It actually is.
They want the, yes.
Yeah, because they want the medical
that's
spousal
right, their benefit.
Benefits.
They want those dental benefits.
And so the typical faux conservative no longer will remind people that homosexuality is wrong. Mm. It's perverse. It's against God's created order. It will destroy you. No, only, you know, we're against homosexual marriage because the dictionary says marriage and right. the people voted and it's our tradition.
Well, you know what? The lawyers who run the National Right to Life Committee have apparently taught all conservatives how to fight our battles. Never mention God. Never mention right or wrong.
Yeah.
Talk about tradition and the will of the people.
And never mention the telethon.
And never mention the telethon. By the way, we just went over $9,000 on the telethon, and we're hoping someone will match today on the air with a $9,000 donation.
Daryl Burkey sent out an email blast to people who get our emails. Now, we only send emails out like once every 4 months.
Once in a blue moon. Yeah, and you don't abuse that. I appreciate
we
that.
We don't.
No.
And so if anybody out there wants to be on the BEL email list, you got to call us or email us, bob@kgov.com.
Yeah.
And give us your email ID and we'll put you on the list.
Absolutely.
But, Doug, we're over 9,000. The goal is 25,000.
There's just a few days left, so I'm not kidding about that matching. Someone needs to call up today and match that 9,000.
Match.
Put us over 18. That would make everything very possible.
Yeah, we really need help. We need some of the heavy hitters to stand, to come up to the plate.
We need those
of
you. We need those of you who've won life's lottery to pull out your checkbook.
Wait, now if you're a Christian, you won life's.
That's well, yeah.
But yeah, but you know, many people have given $10, $15, $30, $100. Others have given $500.
Yeah.
Somebody yesterday bought the Bob and Yurt Live audio library for $500.
A bargain at twice the price, by the way.
Every study, topical seminar we've ever done on audio. We also have the BEL video library.
Oh, yeah. That's
and great. We have the entire Enyart library, which I think is $1,500.
$1,500. You're practically giving it away. That's a great deal.
Yeah, and it's the books, the DVDs, and the CDs.
So the goal is $25,000, folks, and we're not kidding, okay? Hmm. If you want the show to continue on the internet and for Bob to be able to continue to reach the world, we're not kidding around about needing $25,000.
No.
And $25,000 is not what it used to be. It's not that much money, folks. Help us out.
We really do need the help. Hey, Doug, on the show back some months ago, we had a professor from University of California, ophthalmology.
Okay. Oh, that's
atheist.
A great, great interview.
An
one
atheist.
Of the best.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, one of the best creation interviews ever.
Yeah, and on the show, you know, you have to choose your battles.
Right.
And as he's running off at the mouth, it was valuable to us because we excerpted everything about the eye. He's
being an ophthalmologist. That's
right.
Yeah. He'd be an expert.
He's a clinical professor of ophthalmology.
Right.
So it was a debate on how could eyesight evolve. And that is just fabulous because he fell apart.
Oh, I think that's worth $1,500. That show.
He fell apart.
Yeah. That interview.
But in that, he kept wanting to change the topic. One of the things he said is that he said, Bob, you and I, we're both millionaires. So it's no skin. It's no skin off, you know. And I didn't bother. What am I going to argue with him about whether or not I'm a millionaire or what?
Or whether or not a professor
should
be a
millionaire. So funny. Doug, it reminded me when a caller, when we were on TV, and a caller called in and said, you're a millionaire. Boy, you know, from your lips to God's ears.
Yeah, can I just sit here
but
and bask in that
I said, what makes you think I'm a millionaire? He said, look at your ties. Look at your tie. And the funniest thing is I had just bought that tie that night at a grocery store. It still had the price tag on it.
Oh, that's the beauty.
And I pulled it out and they zoomed in. And it was like $4.99 that tie. $4.99. So anyway, Cheryl and I, we live a wonderful life. Our kids play sports. We do live in our dream home.
Yeah, well, but, we are blessed,
but
no doubt.
But we struggle. We struggle very much. We struggle month to month.
Mm-hmm.
We struggle as even though we live in a beautiful home, which we're so thankful for. I don't know how long ago, 12 years ago we bought that house,
I guess
13
so.
Years ago.
Now, don't have people thinking it's a mansion or something. It's a nice
it's a
upper middle class.
It's
home.
A beautiful home.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. But it's not a mansion.
No. And it's on, you know, it's on a nice piece of property. There's enough room for like the kids to play basketball in the driveway.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And they could throw a frisbee in the backyard. That's about it. But we love our home, but we struggle like most families struggle. This show does not have a foundation that has millions of dollars that's helping to support it.
No.
We don't have a mega church.
No. We don't have any major patrons.
No.
Oil millionaires.
The church is supported by our listeners.
That's right.
Getting our materials.
Yep.
So Newsweek, Lisa Miller.
Let's go back to Lisa Miller.
She did the cover story on homo marriage she and said, the Bible.
She said the Bible's not really against homosexual marriage.
She lied, and I called her on it, and then she was called on it, too, in New York a few weeks later. She said she wanted to repeat the lie that the Bible is misogynistic and it's just paternalistic.
Yes.
It was written by men.
Yes, a patriarchal work of ancient.
Right. And so bigoted,
obviously.
Against women toward men. And if that were true, the Bible wouldn't say you could only be intimate with your wife
only
for your whole life.
Right.
If men came up with these rules, they wouldn't have made up that one.
No. Or the one in the Old Testament that women could own property.
They wouldn't have made up that either.
That wouldn't have been in
there. The Muslims didn't like that one.
No, they didn't go with that one.
So anyway, Doug, she wrote in her article, Our Mutual Joy, the name of the article.
Okay, well, that's
she wrote, nowhere in the Bible do its authors refer to sex between women.
Oh, wait a second.
That was such a lie.
Well, that's even I know Romans 1 says something specific.
And I confronted her on it because she researched Romans chapter 1. Four sentences later, she quotes from Romans chapter 1, which explicitly states how perverse it is for women to be lesbians.
That's what it says. It mentions women by.
And well, so to get away with that lie, just to support some kind of stereotype against the Bible, instead of quoting the Bible, she quoted some book about the Bible.
Ah.
And so then a few weeks later, she's in New York City speaking to some 20-somethings.
Yeah.
And a young guy said, you were interviewed on Denver radio recently.
Hey.
And in your article, you quoted from a secondary source that you knew was false instead of quoting from the primary source, the Bible, which condemns lesbianism.
Good work.
FOMOs.
See, we're having an
female
effect.
Female homos.
Yeah. Maybe she's a United Methodist, Bob. There's a United Methodist church here in North Carolina. They're going to stop marrying normal people until homosexuals get the right to marriage. They're going to stop.
Hmm.
So, folks, if you want to help everything stop hurtling toward Gomorrah, please help us with the telethon. We only need another, 15,000? I'm not very good at math.
$16,000. $9,000. And, Doug, this telethon is for our internet operation.
That's
in the
right.
fall, we do a telethon for our radio broadcast.
Amen.
So this is especially for people all over the country. Like yesterday,
right.
we did get a $500 donation from a listener in Hawaii.
Praise the Lord.
So
awesome.
Wasn't that encouraging?
Awesome.
So there are people in other countries, around this country. Please, we need your help for the telethon. And Doug, North Dakota, praise God, their
Amen.
Legislature, personhood is rolling.